Good morning. Greet all of you in Jesus' name this morning. I too want to echo the rejoicing at all the young men that have made a choice to follow Christ in the recent weeks. It's a blessing to see that. See young people making a step in the right direction. As we sat and talked to them this morning, so I share a little bit about thinking about how it is a step. It's an important step. And that they don't need to worry about what's 10 years from now or even 2 weeks from now, but to continue to make a step day by day. And isn't it true we're all here making a step day by day? And we just need to make that next step the right step. And it's that stepping day by day that will get us through to victory as we fight the warfare we talked about this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and ultimately lead us to a future with God and where the Christian wants to end up. So let's all continue to make that step day by day. Brother Jalen talked about time this morning a little bit, and how your perspective on time can influence how you think about the things of today. And my sermon this morning is a little bit down that same train of thought, thinking about time. So right now it's approximately 10 a.m. on February 14, 2021. And we stand on the dividing line of the moments, hours, days, and years behind us, and the moments, days, years, and centuries, if God allows, that are to come. In a sense, we're creatures of the moment. We are creatures of time. We possess only this moment right now. We don't own anything ahead of us. And we can't go back and redo the past. And we are created this way. We exist in time. We exist in the sense we exist right now. We don't exist in the past. We don't exist in the future. We have an eternal soul that will exist on beyond, but right now God has put us in time. We cannot reach back and relive, change, or rearrange yesterday or any day in the past. Neither can we see forward and know what the next moment holds, let alone the next day. God has kept us from knowing the future and knowing what will take place beyond here. And we can sometimes focus on the fact that we don't know what's coming, or we can look what has happened. And that, focusing too much on that, can cause us to miss what God has for us right now in this moment. And the changes in our experience and the pressures of life can cause us to lose sight of how God wants us to be and live right now. So my sermon this morning, I've just titled it Living a Day at a Time. And the idea or the theme of it is, what does the scripture tell us about how we should relate to the past, the present, and the future? And so we're just going to explore that a little bit and see what the scripture has for us. The first part I'd like to think about is dwelling on the past. Now there's two ways we can look at the past. We're given the gift of memory. We can recall things we have experienced. We can remember. Oh, starting at a certain point in your life, you'll start to remember things. I think it's I remember some things from when I was 2 years old, possibly. And that's different for different people, but we have the gift of memory. We can remember, we don't remember near everything, but we remember things that happened in the past. And some of those things are very good. Sometimes it's the very bad things that leave a mark. And you've all heard the quote, hindsight is better than foresight. It's easier to look back and see what happened. And we're created that we cannot see what is going to happen. And it's much easier to analyze and scrutinize the past than to try and understand the correct choices for the future. So what are the two ways we can look at the past? Well, the first way that I'd like to consider is sometimes we can regret the past. And this would be looking at the past in a negative way. We can tend to focus on our past mistakes, failures, bad experiences, and feel regret for things that happened or were done. We can question why we need to go through a certain situation or wish to change decisions we have made. Well, Philippians 3, Paul writes this in verses 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul could have lived with a lot of regret. He spent a lot of time persecuting the Christians. He stood by as Stephen was stoned. He opposed God's work until God struck him and changed him. And he could have lived with regret, but he says here he purposed to forget all that and to press forward in what he knew was right now. He wasn't wallowing in all the bad things he'd done, but he realized he was a changed man and he was going to press forward in what he knew was right. Living in regret can ruin our effectiveness today. If we become super focused on everything we've done wrong and let that bog us down, it really can affect our effectiveness in what God wants us to do right now. And we have this promise in 1 John, that's always something you can come back to. 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We heard about repentance this past week at our Winter Bible School message, and we've talked about this forgiveness of sins. And if we confess and if we make that step to take care of the past, we don't have to let that haunt us. We can press forward and not let the past drag us down because it's been forgiven. It's under the blood. And we don't need to stay mired in regret. And we can take the past is beneficial in that we can look at it. We can put it under the blood, but we can learn from it. And we can help us, it can help us make wiser choices now. The second way we can look at the past is we can esteem the past. And by that I mean we can overinflate the value of the past. Now, fortunately, we have pleasant memories. In fact, it's enjoyable, and maybe this is just age creeping up on me, but it's enjoyable to sit down with old friends or current friends and remember things that have happened, good things that have happened, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, or maybe even not that long. And sometimes we call it the good old days. And it's enjoyable to have discussions with friends, and there's things that remind us of good things in the past, pictures of experiences we had or of days gone by. And you can turn to Ecclesiastes 7 a while. Sometimes when we look at the past, we can tend to consider that the past was better than what we're experiencing right now. And there can be a whole multitude of reasons for that. Maybe today is a tough day, or you're going through a tough time, and it's just like, well, this I didn't have to experience this in the past. Or we can look at current events around us, and we can say, well, before such and such happened, it was better. or during the time or age of, fill in the blank, it was better. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. And here one of the wisest men that ever lived says, "Say not thou, what is this cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." He says, don't do that. Don't ask that question. It's not wise to compare the past to today. He says, you do not inquire wisely. But he apparently it's been a temptation of men to look back at the past, and we can get into the mode of thinking that the past is better. Now, we can't go back and relive the past, and we can't force the present to be like the past. We should enjoy the pleasant memories of the past. We really should. Those are good things in our lives, and they help to make us who we are. But we should not esteem them so much better than today that we lose our focus on what today is and what God has for us today and the blessings that he has for us today. We tend to forget that those days in the past had their measure of mistakes, sorrow, trouble, and disappointment as well. And Solomon brings this out later in verse 14 here in chapter 7. He says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him." He's simply saying there, when you're in good times, enjoy it. But when hard times come, don't question. Don't question why it can't be like the good days. He says God has put these together. He's mixed them together. He set the prosperous days and the adverse days one against the other. He mixes them together. God is ultimately control. But we tend to take credit for the good times and blame someone else or God for the bad experiences. But we need to realize that God allows both pleasant and unpleasant for our own good. History is valuable to help us understand the choices that led us to where we are today. But if we always are in the mode of esteeming the good old days as superior, we can tend to miss the value of what God has for us right now. Now, thinking about the future a little bit, what are some ways we can look at the future? Well, we can tend to trust in the future. And you can turn in your Bibles right a while to James chapter 4. We can be tempted to live for the future. We can always believe in a brighter day tomorrow. We can always believe that something is better up ahead than what is right now. And I think maybe this is just human nature. I think it starts, and maybe I'm nature different than you. Maybe I'm telling myself here, but it starts when you're young. You tend to look at the next thing, and that's your next goalpost. So it's definitely going to be better when I can go to school, right? Well, then you're in school, and it's definitely going to be better when I finish school. And you finish school, and at the same time, you can't wait to get your driver's license and get the freedom that has. Or maybe you look forward to when you're old enough to make your own decisions. Or maybe when I get married, definitely going to be better. Or then when I have children, definitely better then. But then you have children, and you think, well, maybe it'll be better when the children grow up and don't have all this responsibility. Or maybe you look at your situation and you think it would only be better if you had you reached a place of financial security. You don't have to worry about the bills so much. Or if you had more freedom, or you put in, fill in the blank. You know how it is. We always tend to look at something out there. It's going to be better. Next year we'll have a bigger business and we'll do this and we'll do that. And we'll have, you fill in the blanks. We're humans. But we can form the habit of always wishing for the next thing and rob ourselves of the joy intended for today. And it's not wrong, and I believe in planning and working for the future, and the scriptures would indicate that wise people do that. That's not our subject this morning. The subject is to think about the gift of today and the moment of today. But we can plan for and work for and put all our energy into striving for a better tomorrow. And we can start trusting in our plans, hopes, and aspirations for the future. Let's read James 4, verses 13 through 16. He says here, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." So here he gives the example of someone. You could think of these as businessmen. They said, well, today or tomorrow, they had a time frame when we're going to do this. We're going to go into a city. They had a target city in mind. We're going to go into such and such a city. Think it's good there. We can stay there a year. They had a time frame, and we're going to buy and sell. They knew what they were going to do. They had a business plan, and we're going to get gain. Definitely going to make money. And he says, wait a minute. And they forgot to consider that they had no guarantee of tomorrow. And these people were putting their trust and faith in their plans and everything that was going to happen. And he says, you don't know about tomorrow. He says, your life is short. And he gives the example of a vapor here. And if you've ever considered the lifespan of a vapor, right now, our house is a little dry, so we're running a humidifier, and it sprays out a little plume of vapor about, maybe 2-3 feet long, and then it disappears, and it lasts for a couple seconds. And he says, your life is like that vapor, and you need to consider that there's no guarantee of a better tomorrow. You can't put trust and faith in all these plans. We need to treasure the experience of life we are in right now, for soon it will be gone and we cannot return. And in our planning and hoping for the future, we need to acknowledge God and His will. And that was his point here in saying that, okay, you can plan, but you should say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, submit your future plans to the almighty hand of God and realize that His working in your life is superior to all the well-laid plans you may have. Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So in our heart, we can plan out a way, we can figure out a way, but we need to realize that the Lord needs to direct our steps. And the verse you've all heard, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so in our looking into the future, and if you're like me, you make plans and you have everything mapped out. This is going to happen and that's going to happen. And we can soon think that that's a sure thing. But he says, boast not. Don't put trust in the future. Be careful about creating a future that isn't submitted to God's will. Secondly, under the future, we can fear the future. Under these points, it's like two opposites. You can either really value something or you can fear it. And we can do that with the future. Because the future is unknown, we can fear what may happen. We can consider the circumstances we are in and worry about what the days ahead will bring. We don't know how this is going to happen or that's going to happen or how this will pan out. And you can turn to Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 25 and read to 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And this is a classic scripture that's used when talking about worrying about the future. And we all know, we've heard this many times probably, but it's so easy to fall into the tendency to worry and to fear. And we just need to come back to this and read this and understand what he's saying here. He's saying, don't worry about your physical needs. Number one, verse 25, says, don't worry about that. Your heavenly Father feeds the birds, and don't you think you're much better than they? He's going to take care of you. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We're not asking for to have all the bread for next week. Do we trust God for our daily bread? And we can tend to put a lot of effort into supplying our physical needs and making sure that's all taken care of, and we got to have provisions and savings and all that, and that's all good things. But if we let that consume us because of a fear of what's going to happen in the future, we have to ask where our trust is. In verse 27, he says, you can't even add to your height by taking thought. You can't control your stature just by thinking about it. And it's just as futile to worry about the future by thinking about it and worrying about it as it is to try and think about your height and add to your stature. In verse 34, he says, don't participate in worry over the future. Take no thought. Now, this, again, I don't think means planning and submitting those plans to God, but to worry excessively about tomorrow, Christ says, don't do it. These are Jesus' words. Don't do it. Don't take any thought for the morrow. There's enough trouble for today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough things. I've given you enough things to worry about today, to think on today. We live in a world that can be consumed by fear, anxiety, and stress about what the future may bring. And it's interesting. I don't think God created us to manage the stress of the future. He created us to manage today. He gave us the strength for today. He didn't create us to be able to bring all the burdens from the next 2 weeks or 3 years or whatever time period it is and bring them to today. We're not designed to handle that. And he says, so don't do it. Don't take thought for the morrow. And we can look at the worsening condition of the world, and we can fear, and we can look at various things. And maybe this is a negative part, but it's a tendency we have to look, when we look at the future, we can tend to worry. Psalm 37, 1-3, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. It says, don't worry about all those evil workers out there, all those workers of iniquity. I'm in control. Their lifespan is short. They'll be cut off, just like the grass. But he says to do good and to trust in him. And so we need to resolve to trust our unknown future to a known God. And whether it's overvaluing or over-trusting the future or fearing it, we need to allow God, let the future rest in God's hands, and take today and the strength he gives for today. Now, another part I'd like to look at is God's pattern, a day at a time. And for this, we're going to go to Genesis. Genesis 1, back up to the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. And we're just going to skip through a couple verses here. So verse 5, Genesis 1, verse 5. And the evening and the morning, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then we'll continue reading here the first next three verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. Now, do you think God needed 6 days to make the to create the world? I tend to think not. I think God had created everything we see and everything he did in less than a day if he so desired. I tend to believe that he was setting a pattern for humanity, and that he chose a day, and this is what he was going to do, and he did that, and that was that day. And then he chose what he was going to do the next day. And so he created this day by day. Each day had its assigned work and its assigned portion of work. And he worked 6 days, and then he created the seventh day, which is the day of rest. And we still have that pattern today. We work 6 days, we have a day of rest, and we have our days. And I believe God was setting a pattern here of day by day, a day at a time. And he saw that it was a good pattern. It was a good pattern for humanity to have each day and have the assigned work for the day, and take care of that day, and then leave the rest to God. And did God need to rest? No, he didn't. But he was making a pattern here for humanity to take a day at a time and then take a day of rest. And I think it's a pattern that he intends for his creation to follow. What are some ways God wants us to live a day at a time? And what are some things we need to do today? Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Realizing that each day is made by the Lord, and we can rejoice in it. Are you rejoicing in each day? That could be difficult when we're going through tough times. But can we find a way to rejoice and realize that this is the day the Lord hath made? And I think it's a good way to combat the temptation to worry about the past or regret the past or worry about the future is to rejoice in the gift of today and realize that God has created it. Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 13 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Exhort one another daily, encouraging each other, That's something we can do every day. We have people around us. We have our families. We have our people we work with. We have people we associate with. Can we be encouraging and exhorting and helping people to make right choices each day? That's something we can do every day. We have an adversary who desperately wants us to make wrong decisions and to cause us to have this evil heart of unbelief. And we need each other to encourage and exhort daily, something you can do each day. John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And those are Jesus' words. And I think he was realizing that his time was limited here on earth, and that he needed to do what God had designed him to do and had called him to do. And it's an example for us today. God has given us each responsibility, called us to things, given us there's a whole myriad of each person has things that God wants them to do. And so we need to do the work that God has for us today. There is a time coming when our work will end, but today we need to do what God calls us to. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. Be careful. Circumspect has the idea of looking all around, looking around and seeing what's around you, making wise choices, using the time that God has given us wisely. We can do that every day. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And if you need to get right with God, today is the day to do it. There's never a better time than today to repent and believe while you have the opportunity. John 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. Today is the day to tell others about Christ and spread the good news of salvation. There are hosts of people around us that need saved. What are you doing to save those around you, to spread this good news and to participate in the harvest? We need to follow God's pattern of a day at a time and take action in the day, each day, that he is what, and take action in each day of what he asks us and wants us to do. And for the final part of the message, I'd just like to look at what are some of God's promises for today, just to strengthen our, encourage us in what God promises us for today. And back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the verse we read, he says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we seek God first, he knows and understands and will meet our needs. And we just need to trust in that and rest in that. And it's hard to do. Sometimes we think we've got to solve all our problems and we've got to fix all our needs. But we need to seek God's kingdom first, and then he promises to take care of us, to add unto us what we need. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. There is new mercy every day. And the Lord's mercy prevents us from having more than what we can handle. It's his mercy that we are not consumed, that we are not overwhelmed. And his mercy is available for you each and every day. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Our God doesn't change. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and have a different set of rules or a different God than what you had yesterday. And so today, you can rest in the promise. Christ is the same as he was yesterday, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. We have no need to fear. The way God operates will change, and we can trust in that. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about us. He really does. And he says here, casting all your care, not just some, all of it. And if I had to think about this, this is a favorite verse, but I thought about this in a new way. This word casting. What does the word casting mean to you? Does it mean you just plunk it down right here where you can pick it up again? Casting has the idea of throwing something. You get it out of reach. You cast it. It's not just there to pick up. You sit it down for a little bit and then pick it up again. And it's a conscious choice we have to make to cast our care on the Lord and not just set it down so we can pick it up tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And you may feel weak and insufficient for whatever you're facing, but God's grace is sufficient. And when you're weak, he is strong. And so you can rest in that promise as you acknowledge your weakness, cast your care on the Lord, and he is able to be strong when you're weak. His strength will enable you. And Psalm 68, verse 19, yet blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Daily loadeth us with benefits. Have you stopped and considered what the benefits are today? What has God has given you today? And the word loadeth, it doesn't mean he just gives you a little pinch. Loadeth has the idea of weighing down, filling completely up. A dump truck isn't loaded with one scoop of dirt. It's loaded when it's mounded full. And so the Lord loads us with benefits. And we can reach out and claim that provision. And are we thankful and blessing God daily? And so I just wanted to consider this subject of living a day at a time. How do we live a day at a time? Well, we need to avoid regret of the past or overestiming the past. Avoid overtrust in the future or fearing the future. Determine to take no thought of worry for tomorrow. Cast your care on the Lord. Don't just set it down so you can pick it up again. And we trust that God creates the day and the grace we need to live for him each day. And we'll take action and do what God expects for us each day and trust in his promises each day. God bless you as you continue to serve him a day at a time. Let's kneel for prayer.